coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. I am Andrew Farmer. With me, as always, the Jedi Cole Houston.
Greetings.
We have a very special show for you tonight. Cole, would you like to tell them what it's about? By the way, this is issue, I believe it's 217.
It is actually 217.
I'm right.
217 issues later. And we've discovered that Hey Kids Comics is in a family way.
Well, don't listen. I wasn't telling people yet. You blew it.
Cat's out of the bag. We're going to talk about family.
We are.
Yeah, we actually need to tell people because otherwise they wouldn't know what the show's about. Not that they necessarily ever do.
But they listened to sci-fi. Nobody knew that time.
I was there, and I was mystified. I'm not even sure I was there, actually. That might have been somebody else.
Listen, I'm going to tell everybody right now as we get into this, you're either watching Legion or you're not watching Legion, but you're still watching Legion. You just don't realize you're watching Legion. So we'll talk about that in a future episode.
Exactly. That little part of your brain that makes you smile inexplicably is the part that's watching Legion.
That's right.
Whether you're watching it or not. And with that said, we're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about parents. We're going to talk about siblings. We're going to talk about extended families as such as we can in comics, because it occurred to me that there's a lot of family dynamic going on in comics, from Scott and Alex Summers' deadbeat dad to
he is gainfully employed with a giant toad man, a reject from Pirates of Dark Water, which was a cartoon. It's a fantastic cartoon.
And it wasn't that like rainbow wing fruit bat thing. I don't know.
Easy. This is a family show. All right. I don't like it when you refer to me as a rainbow wing fruit bat, Cole. We've been over this. But yes, family, because there are so many, and as comic books get older, not that they're not already multi-generational, but we see more and more in current comics reaching back, pulling continuity, legacy characters, kids. What is it you say, Cole?
For the kids.
It works, yeah. But what are we seeing? I mean, there are, children of existing characters that inexplicably have powers.
Oh, yeah, it's got to the point where, even in comics, babies having babies, y'all.
Babies having babies, y'all. So yes, we're going to talk about siblings and families.
And speaking of siblings, we have a sibling on the show, an actual bona fide sibling.
with an accent mark.
That's right. We actually have my older brother, Clay, who is a longtime listener and occasional show noter.
Welcome. I mean, he's our studio exec. We get show notes from him.
He will actually literally hand down notes. Oh, by the way, you do realize on issue 199, Welcome to the show.
I mean, I realize
I
realize it's a Batman show, but does it have to happen at night? Yes, Studio Clay.
Off the website during the day.
Yes, Studio Clay. We have to have him at night. By the way, from now on, Clay, I'm gonna call you Studio Clay. So feel free to give us all the notes you want. You've earned the right.
Man, I give my brother one microphone note, and now I'm the studio guy.
Hollywood.
Which,
my day without a studio guy, old Hollywood.
Oh, Hollywood.
Which, by the way, you should see my rig that I brought home with me just do this little grab-ass ass.
That's how you know we're dealing with siblings. He just referred to the show. What did you just refer to the show you were on as?
Grab Ass Fest,
which season 5 of Hey Kids Comics will be known as Grab Ass Fest.
That's right.
I think it should be an annual thing, you know, like the 2017 Grab Ass Fest.
Yeah, like Hold our on. Summer fun episode. We'll have a Grab Ass Fest in the fall.
I'm concocting an idea. I'm getting it together. Okay.
Speaking of notes, Andrew does these wonderful, amazing notes during the course of the show, and it's just a beautiful thing to see when they.
Yeah, I should probably add Grab Ass Fest to my notes so that I don't.
I think you should, because we're gonna otherwise in our stupor of silliness we're going to forget what we talked about or forget what we came here to talk about.
I don't know. I think it's got legs. I'm just saying.
It knows how to use them.
So can we, hold on, before we go any further, if we do have our first annual Grab Ass Fest, would you like to be our first official guest for Grab Ass Fest, Clay?
I will kick that mother off.
There you go. All right.
All right. It's official. We're having a Grab Ass Fest in 2017. Right.
Just put your feet in the stirrups and push.
That's why, this is why I love dealing with family. You never know. You just never know what you're going to get. For instance, like you were saying, Cole, let's say that you, you happen to be a member of the Summers clan, and your dad is a big fan of blue bandanas that he just rips off of a t-shirt, it looks like,
his bandana was Steven Tyler had dropped a scarf.
Well, Steven Tyler was Kree. nobody knew it, but in the Marvel Universe, Steven Tyler's Kree.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah, that's how he's 900 years old.
He's one of those white boy Krees, right? Not like the original Captain Marvel.
Well,
I don't think Steven Tyler, he doesn't drop bandanas. He literally sheds them.
Oh, that's true.
You know, it's
like a weird magician. You know, if one of them should fall, another one just sort of, he just sort of pulls it right out of his fist. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's
his mutant power.
Yeah, it's like this Doctor Who scarf of bandanas.
Well, it's sort of like a variation on the Ragman, where he...
Oh, okay.
There isn't... You guys are under the impression that there's only been historically one Steven Tyler. There have been hundreds. You touch Steven Tyler's dropped bandana and you become Steven Tyler. That's what happens.
It's like one of those 12 Monkeys things, or where Bruce Wayne finds Wonder Woman's picture in
the, oh my God,
40s. Or, yeah, sorry.
It hurts.
Or the Santa Claus.
Oh!
Or the Santa Claus. It's the Santa Claus, but shittier, which is really hard to do.
Sorry, guys. I'm just getting my legs here.
You're so good.
Hey, no, you're doing great.
You're finding your stride. I like it. So what is the deal? I was trying to figure this out, right? I was trying to do the research on Marvel's The Corsair.
I like how it's Marvel's The Corsair.
Well,
in case you forgot.
Well, I'm pretty sure that, you know, some MGM has the rights to the name because Errol Flynn played that character once, so now we have to call it Marvel's.
We want to be sure that, you know, when we go to an X-Men movie with Chod and Razzah.
Why can't they make that happen? For real, why can't they make that happen?
I want to see Chod versus Chud.
Do you pronounce it Chod or and I'm not kidding, because I swear my entire childhood I thought it was pronounced Chode. this isn't a thing. I seriously thought it was pronounced Chode. Chode.
And how many people did you share that with?
Oh, across the vast expanses, whenever I was talking about a certain period of time in comic books, I'm sure. I mean, who was more interesting than Chode? What is more interesting than Chode?
What's fascinating about Chode is that weird little ferret he carries around on his shoulder.
Yeah, he calls him Richard Gere.
or as Andy pronounced it, Foray.
Foray, it's the Foray. Listen, I'm international, all right?
Yeah, you mispronounce one name and all of a sudden.
Or Chade. Maybe it's Chade.
So my thought on The Corsair.
Thank you.
Is that the elder Mr. Summers, the deadbeat dad, I'm sticking to that. For one thing, he never gave up on his, like, Sherlock Holmes pirate childhood period.
Right?
Yeah, that's for the people who've been watching Sherlock. That's for you, Blackbeard or Redbeard or whoever the hell that was. The dead kid in the well. Oh, what?
What? Wait, what?
spoiler alert. So I think he, you know, he always dreamt of being Errol Flynn in Chud or no, in Corsair. And then when he had the opportunity, I don't know, was it ever adequately explored how he got connected with the Star Jammers?
Well, he was somehow, in my readings, somehow he, I don't know how he got off planet. That's the thing, but I know how he tag teamed up with the Star Jammers was he was imprisoned in a prison colony, some sort of penal planet situation. And
that's the part of Ego, the living planet, you don't normally see, the penal planet.
Right. Listen, the thing about the penal planet is it's got vast, vast deference.
And it's also a shower.
See, now I have to – damn it, Clay. Now this whole show is going to be grab-ass because you made it. You willed it. You chaos magic grab-ass into existence.
I broke the seal.
You did. That's early. Right. Way too early. Now it's – but no, so it was almost like a Guardians of the Galaxy situation where they were all – or I guess Sam Peckinpah's Marvel Universe because they were all imprisoned on this penal colony, and they all broke out and became space pirates because that's what you do. Yes. So, but I don't know how he got there. So if any of our listeners out there, Spindly Bits, Clay, oh wait, he's anybody else.
I really think he just went out for a pack of smokes.
Scratch offs.
Yeah. He was going to be right back.
Right.
And the next thing he knows, he's on, like, penal planet there.
So my question is this, right? Did he ever go... My question that maybe, you know, somebody who might be writing, you know, a Matt Fraction or somebody who can get their Jason Aaron or a Nick Spencer once he's done making Captain America a Nazi, if you could figure out, like, did he ever go back to Earth? Because obviously he knocked up his wife to the tune of at least two boys, and then cut out for scratch off tickets
to the tune
of two boys. They certainly didn't hit the genetic lottery, but maybe he was trying to hit the scratch off lottery. All of a sudden, was gone. Did he ever come back to visit? I know that they went to him for some, you know, some.
I believe at one point he stopped by because he basically told the Star Jammers he was going to go get some lotto tickets.
He got sick of his weird elfin Megan
like. Meanwhile, Hepzibah there, the Lady Le Pew,
right?
That's racist.
Hey, she was one sexy skunk. I can say whatever I want to, but. But I think, you know, you probably, if you tuned in, especially if somebody like Matt Fraction wrote it, you'd find out he goes back to Earth. Meanwhile, she's pregnant.
but oddly enough, doesn't have
a litter. Yeah. I mean, we're not talking about, like, you know, a few years between them.
But does he ever, my thing is, like, I think it would be funny if he never realized that they were pregnant before he cut out and just kept coming back to different situations with, like, more children. Like, he knocks up Mantis, and she has, like, 85 hatchling babies. So, yeah, he's Marvel's number one deadbeat dad, unless you want to consider Xavier. But, you know, what are you going to do? Wow. What is it with mutants and being deadbeat dads? Somebody.
Or, I don't know, deadbeat dad, Batman?
No, okay, argument time. Here we go. Clay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
If only we had Yahoo Answers.
We need to ask Yahoo Answers. I'm writing this down so we can ask Yahoo Answers this question.
All right.
Did Batman ever, with the exception of Damian, right, his progeny, his literal progeny, did he ever adopt any of the Robins? For real, like legally adopt them? Or were they just living in his house? Like, I need to know,
you know
this.
In a modern context, it becomes incredibly Michael Jackson-y.
It really, really, it becomes something. I don't know, American Horror Story. I don't know what it becomes, but like, oh, this kid's parents died in the circus. Come on, live in my spare room. No, I'm not legally culpable for anything you do. Put on this costume. Let's go fight the Joker. What about Jason Todd? Also, let's say he is adopting these kids. Let's say he is legally going through the motions of adopting these kids, right? He adopts Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson ends up okay. Has a few bumps and scrapes when Child Services shows up to do his interviews, black eyes, you know, some various things going on. But, you know, explained away. You can explain those away. He's a kid. Boys will be boys. Jason Todd dies.
Yeah, I mean, but even wards of... the rich guy are under some scrutiny, you know.
They gotta be, right?
You know, like Aunt Harriet's gonna be calling, where's young Jason? Well, you like The Walking Dead?
So the first kid, right, comes in, parents die, rich magnate adopts child, or the child all of a sudden just starts hanging out with, the, you know, living in the house of the rich magnate, because, you know, it happens
that
once.
It happens once.
It's Bill Gatesy. It's what's her name? Brad Pitt's Angelina Jolie.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right? The second time it happens, you've got to start raising some eyebrows, right? The second time, like, you find a kid on the street, you start bringing him into your house and letting him live there, you start raising some eyebrows. The third time it happens, the kid has a dad! The kid has a home! The parent's still alive, just spends all his time in Wayne Manor with this guy that's 30 years older than him and his butler. That's fine. Whatever. Like, what is happening? And the fourth time, somebody finally has to say something. No, that one's actually mine. Like, I that one is mine. You can test that one. What about the other ones? We don't talk about them. Clay, what do you think?
For one thing, has anybody ever heard of a ward outside of the Batman comics? I mean, what is the legal definition of a ward?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And I mean, what are Bruce Wayne's actual legal responsibilities?
Making sure the tights fit is one.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, yeah.
Greasing
well,
the pole. No, not like that. The pole, you slide down, Cole.
Yeah, perverts. But also, he's responsible for semi-adopting adventure-eyed teens, as we learned.
Adventure-eyed teens, yes.
As we learned from Yahoo Answers, adventure-eyed. But I actually, you know, to go back to our Yahoo Answers episode real quick, I actually put forth the question of, is it possible that Dick Grayson is actually Bruce Wayne's illegitimate child? Now, stay with me here.
Take me on this journey, Cole. I've got a lunch pack. Right. Let's go.
The female half of the flying Grayson adult contingent has a little tete-a-tete with a certain multimillionaire playboy whose initials are BW.
So you're...
She winds up pregnant on his doorstep. And he's like, oh no, I'll take care of you. And it won't ruin your acrobatic career. In fact, it will enhance it. When our child with my macho DNA and your acrobatic DNA, you guys are going to have a family act. And meanwhile, you know, she's like wanting more and more money every year. And then the kid gets old enough to be of use to him. He's like, hey, Two-Face, this is loose grain. And
loose grain!
assassinate some acrobats and owe me some money. And then, you know, the rest is history. So it's a win-win because, the money train stops and he gets a new young ward.
So your supposition is that Bruce Wayne hired Two-Face to kill the Graysons so that he could have a child that he doesn't want and is not legally responsible for that will eventually his job.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not to mention, and I hate to be a stickler here, but there's a certain timeline issue that must be addressed.
So, okay.
Was Two-Face.
It was a different Two-Face. It was like the original Two-Face. It was just a guy who called himself Two-Face. I said toothpaste.
I guess I'm going to have to defer to you because I have been very unobservant comic book nerd
I'm probably wrong here, but I was under the impression that Two-Face was the assassin.
In certain continuity, I don't think it was. I don't know if it was ever established, like when it actually went down. You know, back in the way back when it actually happened, but later in later continuity, yes, that was
the young Sherlock Holmes.
They did.
For everyone you will ever know in your entire life, as with everyone, and we all have this experience, like when Andy and I met as children.
I fell down a well, and you had to use your belt to get me out. And then Stephen King showed up and wrote a short story about it. It's fine.
Okay. So, yeah, there you have it. But I agree with you on the whole Batman thing. He's sort of like the semi-father figure. And it's just him. It's really just a wealth pissing contest. It's like, oh, I can do anything I want because I'm rich.
So your supposition is that he did it just sort of like Gary Busey in the World's Most Dangerous Game movie, where with
not to be confused with Marvel's World's Most Dangerous Game.
That much like Gary Busey in that movie, Cunning Ice-T, that Bruce Wayne just got tired of hunting grown men hobos with crossbows and decided to kill a trapeze family to have a child he doesn't want? Is that where you lost me?
It was sort of, you know, it was a matter of not really wanting his illegitimate child until the kid was old enough and he realized he could probably use some help, especially if he ever got his back broken. Like, that's going to happen.
And, if he gets time bulleted, he's got one on backup.
Yeah, exactly. So, by the time Dick Grayson was old enough to be worthwhile, the amounts of money being demanded by the Graysons, now Dick's dad knew he wasn't really the dad, so the volume of hush money was increasing annually. So it was a win-win, in my opinion. So
there you go.
But let's get on to real other family folks here, because we kind of digressed into a father figure rather than a dad.
A father. Well, he had Damien, so
that's true.
That's great. You
see,
take
and that helps support my illegitimate child thing. He has spread his seat.
What about, I don't want to dwell too heavily on the X-Men, but the X-Men is really where, so let me ask this for you guys, with the exception of like the Marvel family, right? The Mary Marvel, the Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel Jr., Skunky the Wonder Skunk, whoever else was in that family, why is it that the X-Men have really kind of embraced this family, it's a family affair situation? Because if you look at it, you've got, you know, everything from Xavier, Legion, to the Summers family, to the Rasputins, to Rogue and Nightcrawler, we later find are siblings. You know.
Oh, really?
Well, the Mystique and that demon Azazel, or whichever demon it is. Yeah, later on we find out that Nightcrawler's half demon, half mutant, so it's like a Namor situation there. So why is it that at least in the Marvel universe and in the DC universe doesn't have really a
they
parallel?
Don't have as much of an abundance of like brothers and sisters or cousins or anybody who.
Well, they do have, however, probably the weirdest brother and sister combination in comic books. The most oddly incestuous next to Quicksilver and Wanda Maximoff. That is, of course, Jan and Jace, the Wonder Twins. Or wow. Zan and Jaina. I'm sorry, Jan and Jace were the
Space Ghosts.
Yeah, so I don't know what you know about Jan and Jace, the actual history of them.
I know that, you know, beyond that they were sort of adopted, they were Harley Quinned into continuity.
They were but if you look at the actual kind of origin of Jan and Jace, they were, their parents died during a plague when they were babies. So they couldn't get adopted on their own planet, so a space circus adopts them as a sideshow freak. When they're children, that's where they meet Gleek.
Oh, good Lord. This is like a combination of the Elephant Man and the Baudelaire family.
This is Charles Dickens's Saturday morning cartoon is what it is. They escape the circus and hide on a planet where Grax is, which Grax is one of Superman's villains. They figure out who that Grax is, wants to destroy the Earth with some sort of, you know, alien space bomb. They try to get to Earth to contact the Justice League. They replace Wendy and Marvin. Did you know who Wendy and Marvin are?
I know exactly who Wendy with the Wonder Dog.
Yeah, they replace them on Earth because they're retiring. It doesn't go into depth about what quote unquote replacing them is, but this is getting dark. All right.
Yeah. No, it's okay. We're from outer space. It's not murder.
They decide they're going to live with the professor. It's all just Jack. What is it?
I have only one question though. Was Dr. Noah tall in this story?
Was that a doctor from the thing?
Super Friends, yes.
I did not know that. It's been too long,
see
that, though.
See those encyclopedias over there? I've memorized every page. I know it all. That's right. His name's Dr. Know-It-All.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, but that's their story. Like, good God.
That is a sad, sad tale. It's sort of like the superhero version of a series of unfortunate events.
And they're like, a little background is provided into their origin, but here's this horror show that we're dropping in your lap. Good
well,
Lord.
I mean, essentially what happened is when they met Marvin and Wendy, Xan took on the shape of a bear and mauled them to death, or Xana did.
Yeah.
And then Xan turned into water to help so she could scrub the floors. And because of their alien DNA, even Luminol couldn't prove anything.
Listen, this is what happened. All right.
Because it wasn't real water. It was like
form alien. Of warm soapy water.
That's right.
Well, I was gonna say what actually Jan happened was
an octopus with a sponge.
Was Jan took the form of Jan's the one. Jan took the form of a bonobo monkey, and Jace took the form of, because Jace is water, right?
Yeah.
Icicle, so they just stabbed him, and that was the perfect crime because it melted, and they could never find a murder weapon. Also, exactly. No longer a monkey, so everything that was on the security tapes, that's null and void now, regardless whether it's a purple monkey or not. Doesn't matter.
It looks like the murder of the Rue Morgue all over it.
That's right. And they said, that's for our plague-bedamned murdered parents. And then Batman was like, hey, I got a basement room you guys can move into.
Well, especially the part where as the big monkey there, she said, do you read the Bible, Marvin? There's this passage I got memorized. The path of the righteous man. Anyway.
But yeah,
I just have to. I have to go back to the animated, you know, to Super Friends just for a second. And did Jan like just have to carry a bucket with her everywhere she went?
Well, the bucket seemed to come out of nowhere. I think it was glitched
out. It had to come out. Probably. It had to come out of something.
Yeah.
But you know, because you know, half the time she's having to haul her brother around in a bucket.
Exactly.
Wherever they were going. One, how emasculating is that? That your sister has to carry you around in a bucket. And two, what a lame power.
Hey, yeah, you say that until he wound up actually working in Guantanamo Bay.
Oh.
Well, everybody's
got form of a waterboard.
Everybody's got to follow the dream, I guess.
That was Frank Miller's Super Friends.
That's right. Welcome to hell. Welcome to hell.
Welcome to hell. I'm the goddamn Wonder Twins.
Well, let's talk about some nicer siblings, shall we?
Yeah, sure.
You know, you brought up, it seemed like, though, in the X-Men, everybody, if you had siblings, unlike in the X-Men movie where, like, who was it? Was it where they go back and they visit and it was Bobby Drake's brother had no powers.
Right.
He called the cop.
He had the powers to be a little bitch. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But.
But it seemed like, you know, if you had powers, like, share your mutant abilities with your brother. Okay.
I guess.
Because, you know, Peter and Ileana, what's that?
Ileana Rasputin, otherwise known as Dark Child, if you're nasty.
I thought you just mentioned. Okay.
Well, no, the magic was...
In Russia.
So, Ileana was magic, but the demon that lived inside of her was Dark Child. So, like, during Inferno, when... Yeah, never... It's not worth talking about. Yeah, never mind, continue. I'm sorry.
It's not talking about. Thank you for sparing us.
You're welcome.
You have, you know, you mentioned her before the show, the Guthries, the Guthrie clan.
Oh, my God.
At least two of them, you know, you had... Sam Guthrie is Cannonball, who would constantly remind you of the sole benefit of his entire lower body turning into the ignition system of the Apollo program, and that he was pretty much invulnerable when blasting. and which led to an Atrocious Universe character I created with Steve McCauley years ago, Mistletoe, who would always say, "I wish I was pretty much invulnerable when blasting." And then, I guess because she's just some kind of backwater.
Hold on, I got to make a grab ass comment here. I always feel really vulnerable when I'm blasting. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm at my most vulnerable emotionally. Well, emotionally, when I'm blasting.
You're also making that B face.
I am really. I'm really making my vinegar and chips face at that point. I really am.
So, and then I guess because there's supposed to be a bunch of backwoods Tennessee hayseeds.
Sorry.
What's his sister's code name?
Husk.
Exactly.
Husk.
Like, well, I guess it's time to shuck myself.
It really is. Let me turn this dial and shuck myself. Because it was like Dial H for Hero, where she could kind of pick her power kind of based on, and she would just rip her skin off and become another thing. Gross is what that is. That's all there
is
to that.
Well, and then somebody's got to clean that up.
Yeah, there's like
is what I'm saying.
Everywhere.
It's
yeah, I
it's
mean, does it
Steven Tyler all over again? Just.
But I have a question though about Husk's power. Was she when she started with the X-Men? Was she like 5'6", and now she's like 5'3"?
It's like an apartment that's been around since the 60s. It's been painted.
The more she peels off, the smaller physically she becomes. That next thing you know, she's like, "Where's my sister?" Over there. I thought that was Dave Roy.
Oh, man, why? Second show in a row.
Have to haunt you with Dave Roy.
Dinklage Phalanges is back again.
Yes. Dinklage S Phalanges.
So, yeah, but let's not forget, so there's two siblings in their family. The Guthrie family tree reads like one of the kind of middle H.P. Lovecraft novels where he was obsessed with Appalachia. Because it's all, like, there are so many siblings. There is Melody, and they're all powered. There's Melody, there's Jebediah, there's Jolie, there's Samuel. They're all related. It's sort of horrifying that there's so many of them. They need to stop procreating.
I'm starting to hear the banjo music.
Yes.
It's like I'm your worst nightmare, Guthrie. Gyrant, rather.
Because we just keep coming.
Yeah, it's like, I'm your worst nightmare. A hillbilly with superpowers. I mean, one of them, their sole power is just making people squeal like a pig. How is that even a thing?
I'm Jethro Guthrie. We cut out the middleman. I just make you squeal like a pig from here.
That's right. I'm not going to rape you or anything. I just want to hear you squeal.
Hope you don't run into my sister, Annabelle. Like, she literally will make you into a pig.
That's right. It's like reverse Dracula. Listen to the children of the morning. What music they make.
That's funny. That's a funny joke.
Who knew pigs were the children of the morning?
Pigs. Pigs. Not just the other white meats.
Yeah, they're also
the children of the morning, which sounds like a weird cult that's going to pop up outside of Denton, by the way. I just hope you're
Wasn't there a Juice Newton song about that?
Yeah, right?
It's called the children morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what grab ass sounds like.
This is gone. But unfortunately, this is the cleanest grab ass we've ever had.
I know. It's strange. We're like, we've got family. We have to tone it down.
I don't know. Pigs, the children of the morning might be the name of my my Black Sabbath cover band.
Right.
It sounds like awful fan fiction for something I don't want to think about. But yeah, okay.
Another good family dynamic or sibling dynamic, of course, is Power Pack.
I guess so. I guess it is.
Why does everybody say the name of that group of those kids with a sigh?
I actually enjoyed Power Pack came out about 1984, 85. And that was the only thing at the 7-Eleven that day. I actually picked it up in college, and the early on it was a pretty good title. And I cannot remember the artist's name, but I actually met her at a convention once, and I told her that I really wanted to applaud her for being the only, one of the few comic artists who knew how to draw children who looked like they were children.
Because if there's one thing Cole knows, it's exactly what a child looks like.
Damn, you beat me to it.
I mean, look at John Byrne. When he draws kids, they all look like Deep Roy.
For Cole, this situation has to be like Karamazov. It's like having your biological brother and then having your brother in podcasting here just waiting, just standing in the wings, just waiting for you to say anything that we can jump on. Hilary Barda? Was it Hilary Barda?
No.
Okay. June Bergman. June Bergman. Yeah. There it is. Okay. June Bergman. So what was the family dynamic there?
Well, you had the four siblings. They were basically four kids whose parents, I guess, slept a lot, or that weird seahorse, that Pokemon, as I dubbed him.
Anthropomorphic seahorse.
They came in from another world and kidnapped them away and gave them superpowers, because that's a good idea. This is why we need to stop aliens from encroaching on us at all costs. But it seemed like, I don't know if he was like tranquilizing them or something, because they never seemed to notice that the kids were gone. It's like in Weird Science. It's Gary. It's your son.
Why do we always, Cole, why do we always assume that, that whenever an alien in a comic book or a movie, more in a comic book, comes to Earth and gives somebody powers or bestows upon somebody a gift, that they're this benevolent genius creature? You know, what if they're just an idiot? Like this seahorse thing. Just like, oh, bumbled onto Earth. Here's some kids. I got this ray gun. Pew, pew. Oh, now you got powers.
You have the power of space magic.
You got space magic now. I'm going to go hide back in my husk that I stole from Husk.
I'm going to wear her skin as my skin.
So, literally, she's okay. I asked her. She wanted something done with it.
She's over there. It was that or, you know, throw it in the trash with the rest of them. They kind of gave me after a week.
Yeah, I gave them superpowers. Then I went and became the janitor for Gen X. Janitor Seahorse.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, are you having any family dynamic that pop into mind for you?
Well, okay, so this is one. This was actually, I mean, I don't know how funny it is, but it was a real kind of triumph for me.
It's 100 flights of fries. They can't all be gems.
That's right. I Cole, you'll remember this. You remember there was this comic book that I remember from like the early 90s that I was just racking my brain to try to remember the name of it.
Okay.
And I think I had described it to you before, and you're like, yeah, it kind of sounds familiar. Well, I finally figured out the comic. It was a Marvel comic, started in 1994, called Clandestine.
Oh, God.
I remember this conversation. Yeah.
Clay. Consider yourself uninvited from Grab Ass 2017. Good God, Clandestine. I haven't thought about Clandestine in...
That is almost as bad as mentioning a techno comic like Mr. Hero or Primortals on the show.
Well,
I did it again.
But,
continue.
I mean,
please continue.
Family,
yes.
If you want to talk about family, Adam Destin was probably the most prolific procreator in comic history, I would just say, getting his start in the 12th century.
God, I remember how awful that book, and I bought so many of them.
I did too.
So many. What was their deal? We need to do weren't they like some sort of like almost like the Eloy, not the Eloy, like the
Morlocks?
Yeah, like the Morlock or like the Nosferatu, like this hidden group, almost like weird kind of incestuous group of hero, like but they weren't heroes. They were, but they were. It was really hard for me to understand what they were.
Well, I mean, yeah, they were. I mean, some of them had powers. Some of them were heroes. Some of them were a-holes, you know.
I remember a lot of a-holes, so, yeah.
And, yeah, there was this really kind of weird incestuous vibe, too, because they were kind of like this secret family. You know, they had this immortal father. And so, you know, there were like these generations, you know, supposedly of these family. And some of them kind of blended into society, but some didn't. And, yeah, it was really weird. But I was just racking my brain for like a year because somehow it got in there and just was like a splinter, you know, and I had to get that thing out. So I could just move on with my life.
God, I remember that so vividly now. Makes me so mad that that even exists. Me so mad. Because it really
there was. There was a 1996 miniseries, X-Men and the Clandestine.
Well, they pushed, for a while, they pushed hard on Clandestine. Like, that was that was one of the things that they were really trying. That was during the same time period, I believe, that the Clive Barker Marvel books were coming out with, like, Saint Sinner and all of that. Like, I remember this now. I don't want to. It's like I repressed those memories and Clay just brought, I think I have some of these books somewhere. That bothers me.
That's what older brothers are for, just come in and F things up.
Right?
Yeah.
But can we, since we're on the topic of brothers, and we've got about 15 minutes left, can we talk about some of the classic sibling rivalry?
That's true. Also, I want to point out that I think we may have had a copy of Clandestine in the short box for Hey Kids Comics
Live. I think we did at one point. That came from, I think Hoodie at one point had a copy.
Yeah. Foisted upon us.
It's right. That's right. I don't think we asked for that copy. I think it just showed up in our laps. So, we didn't ask for any of those books, though. Well, maybe a few. Yeah. Maybe a few of them we did just to... But so let's talk a little bit about some of the sibling rivalries that occur in comics, because there's some big ones and then there's some ones that maybe we haven't thought about in a long time. Like, obviously the one that immediately comes to mind is Thor Loki. Like, that one is top of mind for me. Do you guys, which one of you is the Thor and which one of you is the Loki in this relationship?
Wow.
Oh, man, I think that mantle is passed back and forth, but
yeah,
I think it's also helmets. Very subjective. Yeah, we trade helmets.
Share that with your brother.
I know.
For the record, my dad sounds nothing like that.
That's the impression you do of your dad every time your dad comes up on this show.
I even did that impression on Ranker Pit Live when Dad was
when
on
your dad was show. There.
Yeah. And people could compare.
If you hear something strange in the background, it's me going through a long box looking for issues of Clandestine while we're recording this show.
My favorite, let me just tell a little story on Cole.
Yes, please. Oh, please. Please, please, please.
I remember, Cole, you may remember this, but you used to draw pictures of Dad. And with little voice bubbles, things he would say. And the one I always remember is one, I can't remember what the picture was of. All I can remember was the word bubble. He was supposed to be saying damn, but it was Dalaman.
What?
I remember doing the pictures, but I don't remember that one.
And I go, what is that? He goes, yeah, that's how he says damn. Dalama.
Dalama.
I think he was just trying to conjure some sort of demon.
He had a direct line to something that was going
to...
So what are other sibling rivalries in comics, guys?
Well, of course, there's the half-brother rivalry of, you know, the Professor X, the Charles Xavier, Kane Marco sort of thing, because, you know, there's that kind of jealousy of a half-brother dynamic, poorly realized.
Right.
Not that I, you know, have any half siblings of, that I grew up with, but it just seemed like that was this sort of exaggerated hackneyed. You know, I just feel sorry for anybody who actually had half brother, half sister, and they're like, yeah, that's nowhere.
It was nothing like that. He didn't have a magic gem in his chest or a helmet that stopped my psychic powers from working.
No, he didn't have nothing to stop my psychic powers.
Talamon!
That's what it was!
From now on, Dalaman is the battle cry that we will use.
Actually, Dalaman was the fifth album from
the 12th. I think it was the 12th. It was volume 2, number 5.
I'm going to get the whole Children of the Morning discography.
You should, because there's some Dalaman is the hidden track. You need to look for that. Hey,
play it back.
Play it backwards. Still doesn't make sense.
Play it backwards and you get the soundtrack from Walt Disney's Three Little Pigs.
So I've got one for you that has been in my that I guess has been enters and leaves and then re-enters and then leaves again my the popular zeitgeist, which is Simon Williams and the Grim Reaper.
Oh, yes indeed.
Because Simon Williams, upon learning of his death, his brother goes banana crackers, goes gorilla Triscuits, cuts off his arm, puts a scythe on it, dons a skin tight outfit with a hood, and starts committing crimes.
And coat racks on either side.
Right, right. Handles for when the superheroes come to grab you. You want to make it real easy for them to grab a hold of you. Like, how does that? In what world does that make sense? That's a thing that you do when your brother dies.
Well, I think that falls squarely into the comic book weird family dynamic that you see with, say, to go back to a, in this case, a father-daughter dynamic, a parent-child, is a shaman from Alpha Flight, and she became Talisman.
She became Talisman.
But that was not before blaming her dad for his mother's death.
Right.
In that just exaggerated. Now, John Byrne, let me tell you, that works, in a 90-minute after-school special. It does not work for 17 issues of Alpha Flight.
Right. That's a Lifetime movie. That doesn't work when Sasquatches are out.
Yeah. Who could be upset when Sasquatches are out?
Well, what's funny about Talisman,
Eddie can't be upset.
If you're looking for a fully realized screw you dad comic book character, look no further than Talisman, whose power was to negate magic.
Oh, yeah. Talk about daddy issues.
Yeah, when your dad's Michael, two young men, by the way, first of all, let's address that tape.
Which always made the question, how did they have Michael in the first place?
It's progressive. They visited a guy named Bruce. He lived in Gotham. He had some kids in his basement.
Here's some rejects.
Here's some of the ones that didn't work out too well. I think this one might know some magic. Also, he's kind of Native American-y. I didn't really want him around. I'm more Anglo in this house. Thank you very much.
And Man of Bats wouldn't touch him.
Man of Bats wouldn't touch him. But yeah, that's the biggest, like, screw you, dad. Like, yeah. Like rebellion is the idea that you have a kid whose superpower is to negate your power, and you're supposed to be the most powerful, like the third or fourth most powerful magic user in your universe, and your kid can just shut you down. That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. That was inspired. I'll give him that.
How sharper than a serpent's tooth.
don't take it to that place. Oh, everybody geez. Knows you. Listen, your brother's on the show. Everybody knows you're smart. All right, you don't have to.
You don't have to get all esoteric.
That's right. You get classical on us or anything.
I have to get all Fredo on you. Are you smart? Are you handle things?
Tired of this Mickey Mouse. Clay, what did you, okay, besides Clandestine, which, by the way, screw you.
That's what I'm here for.
Do you have any other, like favorite comic book families or any kind of dynamic issues within those families that you want to talk about before we wrap this up?
Oh man, I'm trying to think. I'm playing Captain Google over here because I feel like I'm kind of playing catch up. And where is it? There's one here that I found. Of course, I have the attention span of a housefly these days, and I surfed away from it. One that came up that I had thought of and I had to go back and look at was Kalibak and Orion.
Half brother Kalibak and Orion of the New Gods.
Yes. I don't know why I remember that. But I have a lot of memories of that rivalry.
That was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good
and
one.
I love this on the site.
It's one of the comic sites, but it's about family rivalries, and they're explaining several of them. And part of each one of them, they posit the question: jail or family therapy? They answer whether it should be jail or family therapy. And, of course, in the case of Kalibak and Orion, it is definitely jail.
Yeah, but no jail.
Preferably a New Genesis jail.
Right. I was going to say, where are they going to find a jail that will hold those two assholes?
An Andrew Farmer favorite, Thanos and Star Fox.
Ah, yeah. The lover and the fighter. I mean, how bad does it piss you off that your entire... So think about this. You're Thanos. Your entire point, your existence, is based around trying to make one thing fall in love with you. That thing being death.
Mm-hmm.
Your brother has the ability to make anything fall in love with him. But he can't do it for
you. I love it on good authority. He's probably bad at death. Take that, bro. If you ever win her absent heart... I got insider first.
Well, yeah, he made the death definitely did the walk of shame from Eros's. Oh my God, that's a good one. That's a good one.
We want to go with Thanos. I mean, there was one. I mean, it was a sibling rivalry, but there was definitely a familial rivalry there, and probably one of the most popular Marvel movies that's come out, The Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh yeah,
had like a three-way family. Dysfunction going on.
Oh, yeah. There. Thanos and his adopted kiddos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Nebula and Drax, for sure, have a huge rivalry. I realize this entire issue we've avoided the Fantastic Four, but that's because we've done the Fantastic Four to death. I don't think it was necessary. You all know everything there is to know. But I do have one, as we're wrapping it up, and we have to wrap it up pretty soon here. But there's one that I did want, if we failed to mention it, I would be remiss, and I would be upset. And that is the Metal Men. Yes, old Doc Madness created his own family. Out of various metals and cybernetics and a pipe and gave them all different various. Now
take that, small wonder.
That's wow. Going to that Vicky place. That's been a while. We started at Danza and we ended at Small Wonder. I'm all right with that. But that's something I think that could be used in a. Maybe a Vertigo title, something like that, to really explore him building in these personalities into these, automatons, what are they? They're not androids, I don't think. I forget what the actual classification what he did was. But building his own familiar.
I think technically he was a roboticist, because back then the title inflation hadn't set in.
Right. But building his own familial unit with all these different personalities that he wanted in there, whether it be, Mercury and I think Platinum, building his own wife and children, essentially.
Yeah.
is a little weird, but all right. Especially for the time period. That was an interesting take during that time period to build your own family.
And they were so metal.
They're super metal. All right. Why don't we wrap it up and get out of here? We've been going about an hour. So,
all right.
Clay, you've been a godsend. Thank you so much. Even if you did bring clandestine back into the lexicon. No, no, no.
See, now it's going to haunt you.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Wait till the next best comic I've ever read. It's going to be clandestine.
You may have to do the worst comic.
You are going to wake up in a pool of sweat at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
You're going to be like,
clandestine!
Every time the Techno Comics video reel floats back to the top of my memory and see Leonard Nimoy talking about primordials. Some are liberals, some are conservatives, some are dangerous. None of them are well-developed characters.
Yeah. That's
a sound. Oh, just a quick, you know, segue here. Speaking of Leonard Nimoy, if you get a chance, watch the documentary on Netflix.
Oh, I saw it. It is
wonderful.
Catherine and I saw that at the Texas Theater.
That's fantastic. Oh, my God.
I'm drawing a blank on the title, but For the Love of Spock.
Yes, yeah. Done by his son.
Amazing documentary. And it is a beautiful piece of work. So, yes, I didn't realize it was on Netflix, so I have to go watch that again because it was an amazing, amazing documentary.
All right, Cole, why don't you wrap us up and we'll get out of here for the day. Thank you both. This was a fantastic show. You're like brothers to me, even if I've never really gotten a chance to spend any time with Clay. I've heard enough about you in the past 10 years to feel like you are.
I'm sure you have. It's been my pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah, because one of the real irony is the 10th and final episode of Hey Kids Comics Live, Clay joined Catherine and myself in the studio.
When I wasn't there.
Yeah, after Andy had already left Texas.
Clay and I can't be in the same place at the same time.
So true. It's like acids and bases or something.
It's like it's like Fight Club. Neither. You're going to listen to this podcast, and one of our two voices isn't going to be there, and that's how you're going to know which one's which.
That's right. Who are they talking to? This is stupid.
And then,
the fact that it's just Andy and I talking to nobody, then Clay is going to send me notes.
Right? No, yes, yeah.
What was going on with that episode?
At one point, it's quiet for about 3 minutes, and then Cole goes, ha, 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 clandestine. And I'm like, what?
So with that, we are coming to you from the lovely Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com. You can write to us at JCU Mail. Oh, sorry, we're coming to you from the Jedi Cole universe. JediCole.com. You can write to us at JCUmail@yahoo.com. You can look for tweets occasionally. Now that I've actually done over 100 tweets,
wow,
which is 100 more than I thought I would ever do, at the Jedi Cole U. And of course, look for myself and Eddie Medina and Stephen Fett and a whole bunch of the crazy kids from the Jedi Cole universe. As part of AllCon 2017 Games and Theory, Half-Ass Productions and the Jedi Cole Universe, Rancor Pit, etc., are bringing you all kinds of great game shows, two talk shows, the first ever, or the first under the new banner, the Rancor Pit Road Show begins at AllCon 2017. That you can check that out at all-con.net. AllCon the 13th, 13 years, will be launched March 16th to the 19th with Eddie Medina and I hosting the opening ceremonies. There are over 350 things going on over the course of 4 days, and March 16th, Thursday, is free, and free parking. Suck on it, Crown Plaza. It's free parking for AllCon 2017. What the hell you just? March 16th and 19th. Come check it out. I'm in, like, as always, about 10% of what's going on.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, so with all that being said, don't forget to buy, collect, and enjoy your comics. And a very special message, make sure you go to your local comic shop, buy comics there, pick up your subscriptions. This is a growing problem, and it's costing a lot of money. If you have subscriptions, if you have a pull list, go pick them up. Don't let them sit and wait. They need that money to keep going. Thank you to Clay. As always, you are awesome, whether it's behind the scenes or in front of the mic. Don't forget to read comics and buy them especially. Well, not especially.
Especially back issues of Clandestine.
I was going to say especially Clandestine, but I don't want to say that. That hurts my heart to even say it. Make sure you bring copies of Clandestine to AllCon to give to Cole. He'll love it.
That's right. For the Don't Lose Your Geek Card Hey Kids Comics Edition, we will be bringing the short box.
There you go.
First seen in public in several years.
There it is. Hey, all right, everybody, say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Huevos con Dios.
There it is. Good night, everybody. Join us next week for more Hey Kids Comics.